To anyone else, I just encourage and release you to share it with us, that the body of Christ might be edified by the gifts of the Spirit. Father, thank you for your word that feeds us, encourages us, challenges us, transforms us, blesses us. And continue to pour out that word today, for we know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word you speak forth from your very mouth. And we give you glory today in Jesus' name. Would you close out with a chorus again? That word as an implanted seed, and then bend our wills to obey the word, that it might bear much fruit in our lives, 30, 60, yea, 100-fold to your glory and honor and the blessing of this place and those of us in it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Is risen indeed. Well, thank you for, as always, your kind and generous hospitality. I've had a lot of fun. Went to a fish fry, ate fish, had a birthday cake, so just had a great time. This is a great service. It's going to be even greater. Yeah, it's going to get better and better and better till we're done. And we won't be done for a while. But here's the good news. There's no football game to constrain me or thee. So it's probably good that I just come this time every year so that we don't have this pressure of people being raptured in the middle of the service and disappearing. I'm not looking anywhere, Kevin. Speaking of the Jaguars, I want you to know something. One of our priest sons has been picked up as a free agent by the Jaguars as a quarterback, Stephen Morris. So please be kind to him. And pray for him. He wasn't the number one pick, but he was picked up after the draft. And so we're happy about that, that he's got a chance to prove himself and to make the team. So please pray for him, and we wish you the best. We were hoping the Dolphins would pick him up selfishly, but they didn't. So we're lending him to you into your godly care. He's a good man. I baptized him. So he's been a part of the CEC almost his whole life, and also pray, just off the record, that he'd be protected from the culture of the NFL. Amen. Amen. You know what I mean? Amen. Okay, that's enough said. All right, he influences them, and they don't all the way around. You know that I believe God's going to do some good things today. I believe he's already done some good things today. But I really do believe that we haven't seen anything yet. And you know, I like to tell stories. And I want to tell you this story about this young priest. And he was interviewing for a job as the rector of a parish. And he was a young man. So he was, you know, a little untested and inexperienced. And so they were a little leery of hiring him, because it's a big position to put yourself in to be the leader. And so he's in the search committee meeting, and they're interviewing him, and the chairman of the search committee, he says, Father, he says, do you know the Bible really well? Because our people know the Bible. Like, this church, you know the Bible, right? So it's like, we know the Bible. You need to know the Bible to be at this church. Do you know the Bible? He says, oh, yes, sir. I really know the Bible really, really, really well. He says, that's great. He said, what part of the Bible do you know the best? He said, well, sir, I know the New Testament the best of all. He said, well, that's great. We love the New Testament in this church. He said, well, why don't you tell me what you know about the New Testament? He said, as a matter of fact, why don't you tell us the story of the prodigal son? Oh, I know the story. Tell us the story of the prodigal son. He said, all right, here's the story of the prodigal son. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who went to Jericho by night. And he fell on stony ground. And the thorns choked him half to death. The next morning, Solomon and his wife Gomorrah came by. And they took him down to the ark so that Moses could care for him. But as he was going through the eastern gate toward the ark, his hair got caught in a limb. And he hung there 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward, he was hungry. And the ravens came and fed him. The next day, three wise men came and carried him down to the boat dock where he got caught a ship to Nineveh. When he got there, he saw Delilah sitting on the wall. And Nicodemus said, throw her off the wall! And the wise men said, how many times shall we throw her down? Seven times? And Nicodemus replied, nay, but 70 times seven. So they threw her down 490 times. And she burst asunder in their midst. And they picked up 12 basketfuls of fragments. My question is, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Well, the chairman looked at the priest for a few moments and he turned to the other members and he said, well, gentlemen, he said, I know this guy's awfully young, but I think we should hire him because he really knows the Bible. Now, I was going to tell you where this man went to seminary, but I didn't want to embarrass Father Scott. He went to Virginia. No, I'm just kidding. He went to Virginia. Well, today I want to talk to you about vision. You know, the scripture tells us that without a vision, the people perish. Or some translations say languish. So vision obviously is important to God for us. Amen? It's important. Vision's important, personally and corporately. God's vision gives us meaning and purpose. God's vision gives us direction and focus and guidance and fervor and fire. I mean, without it, what he's saying is, the Bible's saying, is that without vision, we can flounder and fall in our life, wandering aimlessly here and there, not knowing where we're supposed to be going, what we're supposed to be doing. But if we have God's vision, especially God's vision, not just any old vision, but God's vision, it tells us where to go, what to do. We know when we're on the right track and on the right path. It can give us inspiration to just keep going, even when the going gets tough, because we know we've got vision. And so with vision, we can accomplish great things. This church can accomplish great things. Amen? I mean, we just need God's vision for our life. And we need God's vision for our church, because then we are being the people God wants us to be and we're doing the work God's called us to do. In other words, we're fulfilling our destiny on the earth. I think that's a great thing. I mean, I'd hate to go through my whole life and miss it. Wouldn't you? Amen. I mean, that's just not a good thing. So today I want to focus on a part of the vision that God has for all of us and for this church. It's a vision of the harvest. Okay? Amen. Now I'm thinking specifically of the harvest of lost souls and lapsed saints. Now they're different. Lost souls are those who have never known the Lord. They've never had a relationship with Him. They've never been what we call saved or whatever language you want to use. You know who they are. Lapsed saints are those, they've got some kind of relation, or they had one, but for some reason or another, they've fallen away. But here's the deal. One of them needs redemption, the other needs restoration, but the city's full of both of them.
That's right.
Amen? Would you listen to me? Your city is without question full of lost souls and lapsed saints.
Amen.
And one of the things the patriarch told us at our recent church growth is that every empty chair in every church in the CEC is God's sign that somebody's missing.
That's right.
Okay? So the question is, not are there people out there who should be here, but what are we going to do about them? That's what I'm going to challenge us today. And the first point I want to make is that God calls the church to the city. Okay? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We've already listened to this verse today, but listen to it again. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you," and we stop. But we shouldn't stop. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, including Jacksonville, Florida." Right. Well, that wasn't in there, but it means there. Right? Right? Amen? Okay. Right. So God calls the church to the city, so he calls this church to what city? Jackson. This city. That's right. The vision, here's what you got to understand. The vision of the church, are you ready? Is the vision of the kingdom. But you get that in your mind. The vision of the church, every church, all a vision of the church, this church is the vision of the kingdom. So here's the deal. The vision is not church growth. Right. Now, I believe it includes church growth. But that's not the vision. The vision is not church programs. I believe it includes church programs. That's not the vision. The vision is in church buildings. Oops. Even though I believe in church buildings. I'm glad I'm here to consecrate this one. I hope I come back soon to consecrate another one. Amen. Hello? Amen. Your own building on your own property. Everybody say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. This is a transition state, a good one, but it ain't over yet. So I hope to come back, as they say in the island, soon come. I want to come back so that we can bless your own place. But this will do for now. Okay, so I believe in all those things, but here's the deal. Wonderful as they are, God uses all of them. God blesses us with them. It's not the vision. The vision is greater than these things. And it's the vision that brings life and joy and blessing to the people. And it's the vision that will impact the city for Christ. For only when people's lives are changed will the city be changed. Amen. Because here's the deal, just like it's true of the church, it's true of the city. How many of you know the church is not the building, it's the people in the building? The city is not the building, it's the people in the city. Okay? So if you want your city to change, which we all want our cities to change, the people in the city have to change because the buildings doesn't matter about them. They can come and go. If the people don't change, the city's still rotten or not rotten. Everybody with me? Okay, so that's the vision. The vision is a kingdom vision, and in this kingdom vision, God calls the church to the city. You shall be my witnesses. And for you, that means Jacksonville, Florida. So far, so good? Amen. Okay. Now, we obviously know, and Jesus was telling us in this passage, that that kind of kingdom ministry requires kingdom power. So he had told them in verse 4 of chapter 1 of Acts, says, while on one occasion he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be, come on, what's the word? Baptized with the Holy Spirit. This kind of vision, this kind of city outreach, community outreach, whatever we want to call it, is not something we can do in and of ourselves. Jesus knew it from the very beginning, so he told them, don't even try it until you're anointed with power. So the word was, wait. And when you get the power, then you can go. We call it the anointing of the Spirit. We call it the release of the Spirit, supernatural anointing. We call it the baptism of the Spirit. I don't care what language we use as long as we get it. And not just get it once, get it often. We'll talk about that in a minute. But understand this. That's not the vision either. Okay? That's not the vision. The kingdom is the vision. The purpose of this anointing, this baptism of the Spirit, this Spirit filling, all this empowering, the purpose of all that, Jesus said very clearly, was to fulfill the kingdom vision. So here's the deal. The anointing, the baptism, the release of the Holy Spirit isn't for us alone. It's for us to share with us who have yet received it. Amen? The purpose is to fulfill the vision of God's kingdom, and particularly to fulfill it by manifesting miraculous signs and wonders that will touch and change people's lives. Now, the model of this, Jesus had already presented to them while he was with them in his earthly mission and ministry. For example, in Matthew 4:23, it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching, there's the word, in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the
kingdom.
Hello?
Kingdom!
There it is. And healing every disease and infirmity among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought to him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases, pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. Here's the deal. Here's the model. Jesus was manifesting and advancing the vision of God's kingdom, the Father's kingdom upon the earth through his mission and his ministry. And I want you to notice, he didn't do it simply in the church sanctuary. Now, he did it in the church sanctuary, the synagogue, but he also left the sanctuary and went where? To the streets of the cities. And he not only proclaimed the word, he worked the wonders. So that the wonders and the words went together to so powerfully touch and change people's lives. Particularly, what did he do? Heal the sick, deliver the captives, restore the broken, release the burden, feed the hungry, save the lost, forgive the guilty, raise the dead. Isn't that what Jesus did? When we read the Gospels, isn't that what Jesus did?
Amen.
Amen. That's what he did. That's the vision. That's advancing the kingdom of God because God calls the church to the city. So you just need to understand, as charismatics, we got to be careful. The baptism, the anointing, the empowering isn't just for us in this place. It's so that we can take it from this place and advance the kingdom in this city. Okay? With me so far, should start over. Just nod your head, and I know you're still alive. Okay. Point number two, all right? Point number one, God calls the church to the city. Number two, God blesses the city through the church. I'm going to be reading three quick passages from Proverbs, believe it or not. The first is Proverbs 11, verse 10. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Here's the deal. Whether the people of your city realize it, recognize it, appreciate it, like it, doesn't matter, this passage is still true. Correct? Okay? In other words, it doesn't matter whether they read the Bible or not, the Bible's still true. Okay? So what that means is that when the righteous, that's God's people. Aren't we righteous in Christ? All right, so when God's people prosper, especially spiritually, the city gets blessed. Even if they don't know it. Or care. Maybe they're going like, please don't bless me. Doesn't matter. The city gets blessed when the righteous prosper. Jesus put it this way, you are the salt of the earth. Well, we know that salt has two basic functions, right? Flavoring and preserving. Therefore, what he's saying is our very presence in the city. This very presence of you personally, this church, other churches, other Christians, our very presence in this city is doing something in this community. It's flavoring and preserving. If we retain our saltiness. What does that mean? We retain our distinctive flavor and our distinctive nature. We don't compromise and we don't capitulate to the culture and become just like them. Because if the salt's just like the food, why put the salt on your food? And let me tell you, it's becoming more tempting for Christians and churches to compromise and capitulate to the culture. Okay? But if we do that, we lose our... and we're no good to the city. The very city that wants us to be like them. Did you get that? The meat wants the salt to be meat, but the salt needs to be salt. Now, here's the irony. In many cases, especially these days, it's quite possible that there will be people in the city who actually despise the very people that God's using it to bless them.